So by way of introduction, we are going through the book of Titus this year. We're going through smaller sections, and we have been going through a section really that deals with what church life should be, what the different part of our people in the church should be. And as I was studying through this, I found a really interesting quote about kind of our current church culture, not so much countryside, but the church culture at large. And this is what he said. He says, we live in a church culture where a large percentage of the people in the modern church are driven by a consumer mentality. They value only what is beneficial to them and partake only of what pleases them at the times that are not disruptive to their schedules, at costs not significant enough to burden their lifestyles. Such persons will pick church activities that are attractive to them, but never think of the impact of their actions on others. Only the most mature have a sense of personal investment in regular fellowship, discipled worship, and church community life. And again, I don't think that's indicative of our church. In fact, it was kind of an encouragement to read that and think, I know of several families, many, many families, that this is not the way they approach their life. But I think sometimes it is a reminder that we're not here just to partake of ministry or to be ministered to, but we should also be ministering to others. And this section of Paul's letter to Titus points us specifically to different parts of the church body. Again, last time we talked about older women. Tonight we'll discuss older women. And in the coming weeks, Lord willing, we will have a discussion on younger women and younger men. And so we need to start with older women, and we might as well go ahead and talk about older women stereotypes. Okay? So there's really, I mean, as we were talking about this, there's a couple of major stereotypes about older women. There's this one, right? It says, I am a grumpy old lady. I'm allergic to stupidity, and I break out in sarcasm. Okay? There's the grouchy woman who never has anything nice to say, who can see the bad in any person and in any situation, right? And we probably know some women like that. In our far extended family, not your mom's, I'm sure. But then we also have this woman, this old woman who's the sweet granny who always has fresh baked cookies and is always saying something super sweet and can never see the bad in anybody, no matter how horribly they're acting. And they always have a high positive attitude about everything, right? And ultimately, that's not what we're looking for. Fortunately for us, God's word not only gives us truth related to all aspects of life and godliness, but it defines biblical expectations for how every woman, no matter their age, in this room, in this church, in this world, should behave to honor the Lord. And so our lesson theme tonight is that older women are to be an example of reverent behavior, demonstrating self-control over their tongues and their substances, and able to teach younger women appropriately. So with all that said, let's turn to God's Word, and we are doing a whole verse and a half of the Bible tonight. So we're going to turn to Titus chapter 2 and start in verse 3. It says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Verse 4, so that they may encourage the young women. And that's where I stop, because the rest is going to be about what the young women are supposed to do. Right? So as we study through this passage, obviously there's not a lot of word count here. Sometimes when I teach, I get to teach like 78 verses, and it's lots of narratives, and I have to break that down in a different way, but this time we get to go a little bit deeper into maybe some of the words and grammar. But I thought it was interesting as I studied that as we look at this short section, it doesn't show up super well on the screen, but the bold words are all words that are uniquely found in this passage and are nowhere else in the Bible. So not the concepts, obviously, and we'll see some similar words and some similar phrases, but Paul uses some unique words as he describes what is the role of older women in the church. So as we go through this passage, first of all, we need to think about older women defined, okay? Because the question most of you are probably asking is, well, what is an older woman? Maybe thinking, oh, I hope I'm not an older woman, right? So let's try to visualize this in this room. So if I could just have, if you're an older woman, if you'll come up and stand over on this side, and the younger women, y'all can stand over here on this side. No one's moving. What's going on? No, we're not going to do that. And we aren't going to vote, right? We're not going to cast our ballots and decide who's the older women and who's the younger women. In fact, as I'm hoping to make clear tonight, I want each of the women in this room to recognize that you have both the privilege and the responsibility to be the older woman in some other women's lives. And that each of the women in this room also have the privilege and responsibility to be the younger woman to some of older women in your life. And I think that's something that stuck out to me as I studied, is this is not a dividing line, okay? You get to X number of age, you fill in whatever you think that X is, and suddenly your name tag says older woman. Right? That's not how it works. And in fact, some of you may be wondering, why is a man teaching about older women? Because I'm not an older woman. I will never be. I was not a younger woman, right? But ultimately, I'm teaching the Word of God, and my goal is to be accurate to what the Bible teaches. But it is something to consider because, yeah, there's a lot of American culture for sure that women would take great offense if you said, oh, that's an older woman. You know, some cultures, that would be a positive thing, right? That would be a encouraging thing. But a lot of times in our culture, we would go, no, don't call me old, right? Don't do that. But let's define it. So first of all, the word for older women is presbytetos, which is defined, okay, in all the lexicons, this is how they defined, pretty much all of them have the same definition. A woman older than an adult, but not yet in the last less productive stage of old age. So you're not an elderly woman, I guess. Perhaps between 50 and 60 years old, right? And that was kind of how the lexicons defined it. And there's some biblical standards for that. And I think that's good for us to consider exactly what some of those things mean. But this word presbytetos is very similar to a word used in 1 Timothy 5, which says that we're to treat older women as mothers and younger women as sisters, right? And later in that passage, as Paul is talking about widows in 1 Timothy 5, verses 9 and 10, he says that a widow, he says first there's younger widows, and those women should probably just go get married again, if the Lord allows. But he says younger, or the older widows, are not less than 60 years old. So that's where I think a lot of people say, okay, that must be the defining line or the dividing line. And they have been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and has brought up children, and has shown hospitality to strangers, and has washed the saints' feet, and she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. And so we get this picture of those women that fall into that category are the women that the church should be supporting, right? Paul contrasts that with younger women that need to probably go find another husband to help take care of them. But the reality is this older woman in Titus 2 is called to live a God-honoring life, to avoid sin, and to encourage other women to do the same. That calling is for every woman in this room, no matter what your age is. So don't let the term older woman scare you. Again, I will not be directly addressing any of you as older women, okay? Not even my wife, because I know what's good for me, right? But understand, you are all called by God to set an example for those women in your life who are younger and less experienced than you. And You are each called by God to seek out women older than you that have more experience than you so that you can learn. And that's really something that I think is important. I know that several times that my own wife, Sarah, has reached out to mothers who were at that next stage of kids or homeschooling or business, running her business, or different things, reaching out for wisdom, getting advice from other women who could help them because they had been there before. And now she's at a stage where she's starting to get people coming up and asking her, hey, what did you do about this? How did you handle that? What do you think about this? Right? That is a good thing. So now that I know that none of you are going to be offended if I call you in a group, large, general sense, older women, let's now consider God's instruction to all older women. So we have first the older woman defined. The second is the older women instructed. You'll see that he says older women likewise. So he's already making a connection with what came before, really with what came with the older men. That they are in the same way or in a similar way, they should be living a life that honors the Lord. The command is that older women are to be reverent in their behavior. And really, one way that we could let the passage just explain to us exactly what that means is that older women are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Just like what God called the older men to be, right? That really God's standard is they should be living God-honoring lives. Whether a male or female, that is true. And so Paul's instruction, as he's instructing Titus to teach his church and lead his church properly, is to make sure that the older women understand that the standard is not lower, really, for them. It's the same. It's likewise. But it's specifically to be reverent in their behavior. So we have, they're reverent in their behavior. The King James Version, I like to play with versions sometimes because you get little nuances of meaning. The King James Version says that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And I really just like that idea of thinking about that the behavior that they demonstrate is an adornment to holiness. It shows off the holy character that they have. And so Paul is going to explain what it means for older women to be reverent in their behavior. And again, the word reverent and the word behavior are words that are uniquely used here by Paul. But they're very similar to 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, where Paul talks about being adorned in proper clothing. That word proper is the same thing as reverent. In verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says people are to be likewise engaged in proper duties. So again, the behavior should be something that is proper, that is appropriate. And the behavior is a settled state. It's the state in which one habitually bears him or herself. It's the pattern of your life. Right? It's what you're known for. Is this is not the one-off. This is not the one-time meltdown when, you know, the kids just finally pushed you over the edge and you screamed and cried and blubbered and, you know, you had to go get whatever comfort drink you have or whatever, you know. It's that you are known consistently this way. And really, the call for women is pretty clear. There's multiple passages that talk about the role of women in the church. We're going to turn to a couple of those. But the first one is 1 Timothy 3. So turn back just a little bit into 1 Timothy. And we'll see in 1 Timothy 3, in verse 11, Paul says that women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And that word dignified is very similar to the reverent in Titus chapter 2. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 talks to women and he gives instruction and he says that the women need to be able to, and he gives a whole thing about wives being submissive and that they're observing their chaste and respectful behavior. And then verse 3, it says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The idea is that what God is concerned about from all women has far more to do with what's on the inside than what's on the outside. And certainly that's contrary to our culture, where women's looks and appearance is, you know, emphasized, idolized from a very early age. And that as women lose some of their appearance as they get older and nature does what nature does, there's a sense in which they're now considered less than they were because they don't look maybe as beautiful as they once did. But Paul and God are adamant that the thing that matters most is the behavior of the woman, that it be proper, that it be dignified, that it be reverent. So after talking about what the instruction is, this is what older women should do, there's the exhortation, right? These are things that the women should avoid. I almost put rebuked, but rebuke is more like I'm rebuking you because you are failing to do that right now. I don't think that I'm going to walk to y'all and say this is what Paul is saying, that every older woman is failing to do this. He's just pointing out this is an area that women need to be really careful of because that might damage the reverence of their behavior if they are not doing things or they are actively doing things that God does not want them to do. So the first one is they're to not be malicious gossips. Malicious gossips. That's not slanderers. The actual word is diabolos, which is related to Satan as the false accuser. Diablo, right? The idea is these are women that are spending their time talking about others in an unkind way. In, again, in 1 Timothy, there's passages that talk about that deacons need to be not double-tongued, right? That idea of in public, they might say really nice things, but behind the closed doors, they're saying something nasty about people. In 1 Timothy 3:11, it specifically speaks to women, right? That they're to be dignified and not malicious gossips. In 2 Timothy 3, it describes unbelievers. This is the pattern of life for unbelievers is they are those that are unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good. And so we have this picture here where Paul is saying, if you as a woman want to be a godly woman, you cannot be one who is known as a malicious gossip. You cannot be talking badly about other people behind their back. You cannot be telling the truth in a harmful way, in a way that's designed to make someone else look bad, which is really what slander is. Slander doesn't always mean it's a lie. It just means you're choosing to emphasize how poorly you think that person behaved, even if what you're saying is actually true. One of the I thought this was interesting, going back to John Calvin, who's obviously a Bible scholar from 400 years ago. He talks about women's slanderous garrulity being like a burning torch and setting fire to many houses. Now, garrulity, if you don't know that word, and I'm probably not even saying it correctly, is excessive talkativeness, especially about trivial matters. But this picture of a woman who's talking and talking and talking about things that don't really matter, right? This isn't talking about Bible things. This isn't talking about important issues of life, but just, you know, the emptiness of the world around them, and they're talking constantly, and the way they talk is like bringing a burning torch into a house and setting it on fire, right, as they visit and talk with other women from house to house. You know, in today's culture, a lot of times I think this malicious gossiping happens online more than it happens in person, right? If you, I mean, this is true for men and women, but you go through some of the comments sometimes in an article or a post on social media, and the comments are just vicious, saying things that are not appropriate, even on, you know, articles on a Christian website, where people are, you know, even if you disagree, they're not going about it the right way. And so we have this concern that women need to be careful, and honestly, I would say men too, because there's lots and lots of commands about sins of the tongue. But women here, Paul says, need to be careful that they are not malicious gossips. I pulled up like 16 verses and passages. I'm not going to go through all of them that just have to do with the tongue and the damage the tongue can do. And I think most of you understand that and know that, but understand that this is not what godly women should be known for. They should not be malicious gossips. Secondly, they're not to be enslaved to much wine. Okay, and enslaved is to become entirely dominated by some influence or person. It's conceived of as being the legal property of another. Again, you think about the term slave. It's that this person, this device, this drink becomes your master and you must obey, right? He says women should not be that. Again, this is obviously something that all Christians are called to. Again, the leaders of the church are to not be addicted to wine. We talked about that some as we went through chapter 1 of Titus, as we talked about what the elders are and are not to be. It says in 1 Timothy 3, again, the deacons are not to be double-tongued, we talked about that, and not addicted to much wine. All the way back in the Old Testament, it says that they, in Leviticus 10:9, do not drink wine or strong drink when you come to the tent of meeting, right? This idea of some people would actually come to church, their version of church, drunk, not good. It says specifically in Ezekiel that the priests are not to drink wine, that this is not to be a part of their regular behavior. Now again, the issue here is not so much can we have an alcoholic beverage or not, because scripture is clear. It is allowable to have alcohol. Now the question is, are you enslaved to it? Are you dominated by it? Is it something you need to get through your day? You know, I know that it's pretty common in the culture at large of, okay, it's been a long day, you get the kids to bed, now it's time for a glass of wine, right? And maybe two, because today was really, really rough, right? If wine or alcohol is something you're using to deal with your life, that might be a sign that you are enslaved to it. But the reality is I think the picture here is beyond just wine. It's beyond just the actual drinking of alcohol, but it's that women that are godly, women that are be reverent in their behavior, do not need to be controlled by any appetite, whether it's food or medication or alcohol or any purpose. You know, some women controlled or dominated by, you know, exercise or activities or social media. The reality is, as one commentator said, the first behavior cited there, malicious gossips, relates to the lack of control of the tongue. And the second, drunkenness, relates to a lack of control of both one's appetite and purposes. The reality is that God does not want women who are controlled by something other than God. That they're to be enslaved to God in the sense that they are to obey Him and not their own flesh, their own desires, to alcohol, or any other thing. that this is true, again, for men and women, but women, this is what's in the passage for you. So we've seen that the women are exhorted, they're challenged, make sure that this is not how you are could be described. And then finally, the women or older women are commanded. They're commanded. It says in the end of verse 3 that they are to teach what is good. Teaching what is good. That picture is that they are specifically teaching that which is good as opposed to that which is bad. And you think about it, that's how Paul's broken down this passage. He said older women should be those that are known as those that are living reverent, godly, holy lives. And they are not known as those that are double-tongued or malicious gossips or controlled by wine. And so if an older woman is living that kind of life, they're naturally, their teaching should be those same things, right? It'd be really kind of challenging for a godly, reverent woman who's not participating in these behaviors that Paul says avoid to then go and teach bad things to other people, right? Again, it's really hard for a teacher of any sort to teach what they don't know. And so if these women don't know the sin that Paul is telling them to avoid, and they do know walking with God in a reverent way, then it's going to be natural that they teach those things. The idea of teaching obviously is found throughout the Bible. But I found this interesting just as a connection to teaching in Hebrews 5:12. It says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Right? There's this picture that as you grow, as you are becoming more mature in Christ, you should be able to teach, and you should be able to receive teaching that's deeper and more challenging and maybe harder to understand. But some in this passage in Hebrews are not growing, are not maturing, and so they need someone to go back and go through the basics again. Right? I see that in the church at large, right? They spend all the time bringing in new people. And so the message always stays around what new people and unbelievers and new believers would think. And so they don't ever get into anything deeper. They don't ever challenge them because they just want to keep the new people coming in. And the problem is when all you're feeding is milk, then you don't ever get mature believers. Women should be teaching, actively teaching what is good. I thought it was also interesting as I went through this study that the picture in Revelation is of a woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, right? So she says, I'm a teacher. I'm the one who can speak for God, but she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And we know, I think, hopefully you know, that there's a biblical call that women should be teachers in this context with other women. We don't allow women pastors in our church. That is not a role that God allows. And unfortunately, so much of what's considered Christian culture today is full of women in high places behind a pulpit teaching things that are not accurate. Right? It's really hard to be teaching biblically if you are in the position you should not be in. And so it's a concern, or it's an admonishment to all of us to make sure, am I teaching what is good? And is what flows out of me those things that are good for other believers to hear, or is it something that they might go, wow, I never thought I'd hear that out of his mouth. I never thought I'd hear her talk like that. Well, she was so nice to that woman just a minute ago, and here she is now talking her, tearing her down. No, the older women need to be actively teaching that which is good and not those things that are false or evil. And really, again, what is the goal is that they're going to encourage, right? Encourage doesn't mean like, oh, it's warm fuzzy all the time. Okay, I mean, that's nice. We all want that kind of encouragement occasionally. But the word really means to admonish or to warn. One of the resources I looked at says the sense is to instruct someone to think and live wisely in self-control over their passions and desires. Again, that makes sense. If the older women have learned to live wisely in self-control, which we might also call that reverent behavior, then they have also gotten self-control over their passions and desires. They're not enslaved to wine. They're not malicious gossips. And so now they're going to start encouraging the same behavior from the younger women behind them. John MacArthur says, it says this word means literally to cause someone to be of sound mind and to have self-control, and refers to helping others cultivate good judgment and sensibilities. Again, it's really hard to teach good judgment if you don't have it. It's really hard to teach sensibility if you don't have it. And so that's where Paul goes through this passage and says the older women need to be living this out, and then they need to be able to teach other women as well. And then again, they're going to talk to the young women. The young women. And again, we could say, oh, what's the line? When is it a young woman? When is it an older woman? Right? The commentaries look at that this is a woman probably of marriageable age, whether married or not. Right? It goes on, and spoiler alert for next time, it talks about loving your kids and loving your husband. So the idea is that probably women that have younger families. But the reality is the older women are teaching the younger women from their experience. And that's where I think, as I studied this, it hit me that there's not that line, right? There's not that, okay, now I'm officially an older woman, give me my, bonnet and my walker. We're not doing that. It's each of you in this room are older and more mature than someone else in this room. And you should be living out, first and foremost, you should be living out a reverent life. You should be holy in your behavior. You should be dignified. And so that your life is known as that woman that you go, that younger woman would say, I want to be like that. I see how she handles her kids, and boy, those kids can be a handful sometimes. But I don't hear her yelling at them or being angry with them. I see her husband, and he's a dope. My wife's heard that before. But she's patient and gentle, right? That you each women have that ability to teach, as long as you're living that out. And that would be my encouragement, is don't try to start teaching if you're not living this. It's not going to go well. It's not going to go biblically. But let's consider a couple of applications. First of all, be a reverent example for others to follow. Honestly, again, this application applies to all of us. While the passage specifically is talking to older women, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Right? There's a biblical principle of we should be living our lives such that we can be an example to those around us. And we could say with Paul, you know what? If you were to follow me, you would be learning how to follow God better. Secondly, seek out an older woman to help you, to teach you, to encourage you. Right, that might be in partners, in a one-on-one situation, which is a wonderful ministry, where you're going through biblical principles, biblical doctrines, learning what the Bible teaches about all sorts of topics about theology, but then you're also learning, what does it mean to live and serve and fellowship in the church? How can I honor the Lord with my life? Partners is a wonderful opportunity for that, for you to find an older woman that, again, you say, I want that woman to pour into me a little bit. Titus 2, again, larger groups, but the whole, I mean, I'm sure y'all have put this together. Titus 2 was named that because of this passage, right? Titus 2, it's all about older women helping younger women. So participate in that, the small groups, the monthly times, right? Get together. Maybe you just get together for coffee. You say, hey, I need some help, and I see you've gone through some of the same things I'm struggling with. Can we get together and talk? That's a wonderful thing for you to do, is to be seeking out an older woman to help you. But also, right, if you're living a reverent life and you're living a life that honors the Lord, you should also be seeking out younger women that you can teach, right? Because sometimes it's hard. You know, maybe you've been that younger woman and you're like, I'm really struggling with my kids. I'm struggling with my marriage. I'm struggling with my personal discipline. I don't want to go tell this woman. I mean, she looks like she's got it all put together, and, you know, I'm going to tell her and she's going to think I'm like weak or bad. Right? It takes some courage, but maybe you that are older, which we already said is all of you, are older in some ways, more experienced, more mature than somebody else, go seek out someone, right? Whether that's someone that you've met at Titus 2 or met in line dropping off your kids for, you know, choir or whatever it is. Find a younger woman that you can pour into. So again, tonight we talk specifically about the role of older women. And I know that it's easy to kind of shy away from that term. But I like what we see in more of the Asian cultures. In the Asian cultures, age is a positive thing, right? The older people are revered. They're considered those that are wise, that have learned, and they are treated with respect. That's what I want us to think about when we think of older women. These are women that are respectable. Their behavior is holy, and they're doing the right things in a way that honors the Lord. And therefore, that should be the goal for each of you women. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for your word. That even as we looked at such a short section of Scripture tonight, Lord, I pray that there was value there. Lord, I know it was valuable for me even as I studied, even though I'm not a woman, to just think about what does my life, what is the example I'm setting? Could I have others describe me as reverent in my behavior? And Lord, I pray that each of the women in this room would be challenged and encouraged to live a life that honors you. Lord, that they would avoid those sins that can be so easy for any person, but certainly women to fall into with gossiping, slanderous behavior. Lord, that they would not be controlled by substances like wine, but that they would desire to, out of the overflow of a life that is lived honoring you, that they would be able to teach others. And I pray that you would even use this message tonight as a encouragement for older women to seek out younger women that they might be able to teach and encourage, and for younger women to seek out older women and ask, have the humility to say, I don't have it all figured out, but I'd like to see what you have to say. And Lord, we thank you that you give us everything we need for life and godliness, including things like older women teaching younger women. Lord, I pray that as we have our small group time, that the discussion would be fruitful and helpful, and I pray that you would get us all home safely tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.